Welcome to the Preaching and Leadership Podcast. This is the place where you'll get practical, actionable help on how you can preach and lead better. Our ministry partner for this episode is Trained Up. With Trained Up, you can train your church like never before. Leadership development, onboarding, volunteer training, all of this can be done through Trained Up. No more do you have to try and get all of your teams in the same room at the same time for training. Instead, you can utilize the power of the internet and put together video training for your ministry teams. You can get everyone on the same page, no meetings required. Because the thing is, you know that you're up against it, and we're all up against it. People are busy. People have things going on that just makes it difficult to try and get everyone in the same room. So what Trained Up has done is they have put together not only ready-to-use videos for every ministry area in your church, but they also allow you to upload your own training videos so that you can train your church in very specific contextual ways. So if you want to learn more on how you can train your church like never before, then go to rookiepreacher.com/trainyourchurch. That's rookiepreacher.com/trainyourchurch. In his book, 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership, John Maxwell lays out the law of process. And in the law of process, he talks about how if you want to make progress in leadership development in yourself or in others, then you need to engage in a process. That leadership development is a daily endeavor and is one that we need to engage in on a level where we are aware of where we are as a leader in that moment, so that we can know where we need to grow. One of the dynamics that we are up against as church leaders when we are developing leaders in our churches is we need to be aware of where our people are, where our people are in the leadership development journey. Are they engaging in the process? Are they making progress? When we can know where our leaders are and when we can get them in the right places, that is a game changer. And so today on the Preaching and Leadership Podcast, we are going to be talking about the three levels of leadership development. The three levels of leadership development. And when we are able to grasp this and stick to it, it'll change the way we organize our teams. It'll change the way we give responsibilities to the people in our churches. And what I think it will do, most of all, is to set our churches up for success, to where leaders are in the right spot, in the right place, the right time, and they're engaging in activities that will continue to stretch them and grow them. So today, the three levels of leadership development. Let's dive in. Every church has leaders, but not every church has leaders in the right place. If there's a person in the wrong place in leadership, extensive damage can be done. If churches continue to ignore leadership development, perpetual damage will be done to their health and sustainability. And the first piece of leadership development is understanding the three levels of leadership and asking the question, are our leaders equipped to lead at the level they presently reside? This is such an important question. Are our leaders equipped to lead at the level they presently reside? I'm just imagining that maybe there are people popping into your head that maybe you question whether or not they should be in the places that they are in the various ministries of your church. But let's dive into this. The three levels of leadership development. Number one, lead yourself. Here's the reality. If you can't lead yourself, you have no business leading someone else. At this level, leadership is part discipline, part passion, and part perseverance. It takes discipline to do your work and to do it well. It takes passion to maintain the energy required to try new things and constantly innovate. It takes perseverance to push past criticisms, roadblocks, and failures so you can have a long and fruitful ministry. Here are four qualities of someone who is able to lead their self. First one is that they're a constant learner. They're a reader of books and blogs, a listener of podcasts, an attendee of conferences, and a mentee of other leaders. Not having prior knowledge of something isn't a roadblock. Why? Because they are always learning. You know, I think one of the most important things we learn in school, in college, in graduate school, seminary, whatever, is the ability to learn. If you have the ability to learn, you can do whatever you need to do. You can tackle any problem you have. You can blow past any roadblock that is before you because you are able to learn new things. And when you're able to learn new things, there's nothing that's going to get in your way that you can't overcome with the help of your team and with dependence on God. Number two, second quality of someone who is able to lead themselves is number two, dependable. They're dependable. Like, you never question whether they will be on time or do what they said they would do. You just never question it. Like, it's just, I know they're going to be there. Their word is good. It's dependable. Number three, they're a self-starter. If something needs to be done, they take initiative and they get it done. You know, they're not waiting for direction on every little minuscule thing. No, they're going and doing, and they're making sure that they are executing on what things need to be accomplished. Number four, they are principled. They operate on a foundation of biblical principles. They have steady integrity. I mean, if you don't have these qualities as a leader, if someone in your church doesn't have these qualities as a leader, then what can they do? They're not ready to lead. If they're not a constant learner, if they're not dependable, if they're not a self-starter, if they're not principled, then they are not even a person who can lead themselves. But here's the thing. Someone who can lead himself well has the potential to move to the next leadership level. But this move isn't automatic, and some don't make it. Too often times, here's what happens. This happens in the business world and certainly in the church world. Someone is really good at the individual tasks that they have before them. This could be in the marketplace or it could be in the church, like I said. Oftentimes, the people who get promoted or get the reins of leadership are the people who are really good at a certain task. Like, they've mastered that thing that they're to do. You know, it's like the worship leader. They got the job because they're really good at singing and playing an instrument. But that doesn't mean that they automatically can lead people in worship. Maybe they're still learning to lead themselves in worship. But oftentimes, the person inside of a church gets the promotion when, you know, the current worship pastor leaves. We turn to the guy or the gal who is uber talented in music, and we give them the reins of the worship ministry. That's oftentimes a mistake. Why? Because they haven't made the turn. They may be able to lead themselves in worship, but if they can't do the second thing, and that is to lead others, and that's a big shift, then they won't be able to lead people in worship because they are simply still learning to do that themselves, to lead themselves in worship. That's just one example of many, but the thing is, this happens across the board. When there's somebody who's really good at what it is that they do as an individual, they have an individual contribution to a team, they are often the person who gets promoted to being the team leader, whether or not they have made this next shift into the second level of leadership development. And that is number two, and that is to lead others. Because here's the thing. To lead others, you must step back from task completing and step into people equipping. You must step back from doing the tasks and you must step into equipping the people. At this level, leadership is part planning, part vision casting, and part equipping. If you tack on the three leadership pieces from leadership level one, then you get a good picture of what it looks like to lead others. And again, those three things from the first one is discipline, passion, and perseverance. So you've got discipline, you got passion, you got perseverance, but now you got to add planning, vision casting, and equipping to your plate as a leader. Because here's what this requires. It takes planning to move past getting things done yourself and move toward getting others involved. It takes vision casting to constantly help the team see the why behind what they are doing. And it takes equipping to honor God and his call for us as church leaders that you can see in Ephesians 4:12. Like, this is what we're supposed to do, to equip the saints for the works of ministry. We're supposed to be equipping others to do the work. And our work is the equipping part. Here are five qualities of someone who is able to lead others. And again, this transition from leading oneself to leading others is a big one. And we cannot ignore the dynamic of the shift that must take place in order to do it well. Number one of the five qualities of someone who is able to lead others, they are an observer. Like, they don't focus on what they are doing, but they take notice of what their team is and isn't doing, and more importantly, how they are doing. They are observant of the ministry as a whole, of the church as a whole. Like, they take a step back and they are able to see from a 30,000 feet view what is really happening. They are an observer. Number two, they are a question asker. They find ways to teach and lead by asking open-ended questions that help their team push past the obstacle at hand. They allow their team to work through issues in real time by asking good questions. They don't always provide the solution, but they lead toward the solution through asking good questions. Number three, value driver. They are a value driver. They utilize opportunities for teachable moments that drive home the importance of the church's core values and core convictions. They are able to allow people to see why we do what we do and why we must do it in the way we must do it. Because our beliefs drive our values. And when our values are really adopted, it changes the culture of our ministry. It changes the culture of our church. So the person who's able to lead others, they understand the importance of values and driving those home in their teams and in the people and the lives of the people they are leading. Number four, they are grateful. They take the time to make sure their team knows they are appreciated. They write thank you notes. They send text messages. They send emails. They give public praise to their team. Number five, they are optimistic. They help their team see what the future could be and always connect the day's project with God's work in and around them. They allow people to see that observant mentality where they can zoom out and they say, hey, this is part of the way we are getting to tomorrow. This thing that we're working toward, today, like, this thing is directly related to this vision that we have for the future 5 years of our church. It's amazing. We need to keep at this. We need to work hard at it. We need to persevere. This is going to be so good. This is how this relates to our broad vision for the future. Someone who can lead their self and others could potentially move to the next leadership level, but there are some shifts they need to make again. Sometimes when we are used to leading other task completers or other team members who are doing individual contributions to the team, it's hard to then take our leadership to the next level because now we are not just working with the people who are doing the work of ministry, doing the work of the team, but we are now elevating another rung of leadership development, and that is number three, and that is the third level of leadership development, which is to lead leaders. This is important. Your effectiveness as a leader of leaders is determined by what you help others accomplish. I'll say that again because that was not a mistake of the way I said that. Your effectiveness as a leader of leaders is determined by what you help others accomplish. At this level of leadership, leadership is part evaluation, part coaching, part courage, and part presence. What we're trying to do is help others help others. That's what being a leader of leaders is all about. And again, at this level, it's part evaluation, part coaching, part courage, and part presence. And here's why. It takes evaluation to set aside time to reflect on where the church has been, how God is leading in the present, and how we should respond for the future. It takes coaching to raise up the leaders who are working through the challenges of leading people and to help them know that you have their back. It takes courage to make the tough decisions that leaders must make on a weekly, monthly, and yearly basis. And it takes presence to build and cultivate the trust of the entire church and to remain a connected leader. Here are five qualities of someone who is able to lead leaders. Number one, they have to be a good communicator. They effectively and constantly are communicating the gospel and the direction and vision of the church with their leaders and their entire congregation. Leadership comes not just with a baton, but with a microphone. Leadership requires us to be a good communicator because we need to get people on the same page, rowing in the same direction, striving for the same thing. And that requires us to communicate where we're going. So number one, five qualities of someone who is able to lead others is to be a good communicator. Number two is to be a strategizer. They're able to connect the vision for the future with the work of today so that the vision ceases to be a God-given idea and begins to become a God-given reality. You see, it's not just enough to be a vision caster. We have to take the vision and turn it into strategy. We have to take the goal and turn it into steps. We need to take the idea and turn it into reality that can be seen today, that we can start chipping away at it so that we can see it come to fruition. Number three, to be a listener. A leader of leaders, they are concerned with keeping the pulse of the congregation, and the best way they do this is by listening to their leaders and their congregants. Most importantly, as with all followers of Jesus, they are in tune with the voice of the Spirit of God. They are listeners. They're able to take their mouth and shut it in order to listen and hear what's going on. Number four, they are a herald of the big picture. They are far more concerned with how decisions impact the entire church than they are a minuscule little moment inside of a team. Not to say that that's not important, but they are far more concerned with how decisions impact the entire church as a whole. They are able to zoom out and see the entire picture of the church. A leader of leaders never makes decisions based just on one ministry or one team. They make decisions based on the ministry of the entire church. And that is huge. Because without it, you end up seeing turf wars inside of ministries and inside of the church, and then you have church splits, and it leads to disaster. So they are a herald of the big picture. And number five, they have thick skin. For them, the criticisms of a few don't deter them from doing what God has called them to do. Yes, criticism hurts, but it doesn't cut to the arteries of their leadership to where they bleed out and they are unable to move forward. They have thick skin. The level of leaders of leaders is often occupied by people who have never led others, and this, right there, can be a problem. So the question we have to ask ourselves in all of this is, are my leaders in the right place? Are my leaders in the right place? I think we all need to take some time and reflect on the pool of leaders in our church. Are they equipped to lead at the level they are currently in? A lot of times in churches, people are given the responsibility of leadership simply because they are liked. And that can sometimes lead to a person being in leadership who hasn't even risen to the first level of leadership to where they are leading themselves. And that's why a lot of churches lack the ability to make decisions, why a lot of churches lack the ability to move forward, because they have people in leadership who are not even able to lead themselves to a decision on anything. This is so important. So important. Here's the best action step that we can take at this point. Rather than reflect and decide what your answer is to this vital question, like where are my leaders at? Are they in the right places? I want to encourage you to do something different. What I want to encourage you to do is to gather your leadership team, your elders or your board, and your staff, all of them together, and work through this podcast episode together and work through this question together. You can share the link, rookiepreacher.com/PLP16 with your team. That's where the show notes are, where all the links, the relevant links are going to be as well. Rookiepreacher.com/PLP16. I want to encourage you to get them together and work through this question together. You can just send them the podcast ahead of time and they can work through this. And then you guys can come together and talk about it. And I think a few things should happen in this. Some will see what leadership level their role is, and they will see how they need to grow into that leadership level, and they will determine to grow. Some may determine that they are better utilized in a different role, and some will be affirmed in the focus they have had and determine to grow to the next leadership level or grow more deeply in their abilities as a leader of leaders. So you're going to have different reactions from this conversation. But once this conversation has happened, what you need to do is drive this importance of leadership development deep into the hearts of your leaders and potential leaders. This is vital for the health and sustainability and future growth and health of your church. If you take the time to tackle this today, your church in the future, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, 20 years from now, 100 years from now, will be much stronger. But it takes intentionality, and many times it takes hard conversations that are uncomfortable, that we don't like, but that need to happen. That'll do it for another episode of the Preaching and Leadership Podcast. I'm so glad that you joined us. Wanted to let you know again that in a little bit less than a month, on September 17th, we are going to be reopening the doors of enrollment to Sticky Sermons Academy, and you can get on the waiting list right now if you just go to www.stickysermons.academy, and you can find all the show notes at rookiepreacher.com/PLP16. If you'd like some free preaching and leadership resources, just go to rookiepreacher.com, click download, and we'll send that right to you. Hope you have a wonderful week. We'll talk to you soon. Peace.